All right. It's good to be here tonight. Thank you all so much for coming. You know, our text is going to be Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Addiction is a growing epidemic, unbiased to social status, age, income, and faith. As of 2020, including alcohol and tobacco, 165 million, or 60.2% of Americans aged 12 years or older, currently abuse drugs. That is 6 out of 10 people. That does not even bring into focus those who are addicted to other thoughts or behaviors which bring people into bondage. There's an abundance of people hurting and in need of recovery from a multitude of addictions and life-controlling problems. Many people refuse to admit that they have a problem. They use their addiction to fill their emptiness and to medicate their emotional pain. They go to great lengths to hide or convince others that their addiction is not out of control or hurting them. They often only convince themselves. The very nature of addiction is that the coping mechanisms which seem to help eventually control them and produce negative circumstances that bring bondage and destroy their lives. It hurts and destroys relationships with the people that they ought to care about, and eventually addiction will take their life. Addiction is a worship disorder. People worship idols when they love or revere anything more than God. The similarities are striking. Just as with idol worship, an addict will place their addiction in a position of reverence above all the other important things in a person's life. An addict will devote time, talent, and treasure to serve their idol. Eventually, an addict will give up everything else to worship or to take part in their addiction. But God's grace can make all the difference. See, God has placed his church in his kingdom to help those who have lost control of their lives come to trust Jesus as Savior and to give control of their lives to him. Reaching out to a hurting world with God's grace is the first step in helping the addicted. For those of you who do not know me, I've been convicted of numerous misdemeanors and 7 felony drug-related crimes, which have resulted in broken relationships, much heartache, and loneliness following 4 prison sentences. It is only by God's grace that I'm not serving a life sentence or dead. I have often thought back on my life and the choices that I made, wondering when Jesus called me those many years ago as a 13-year-old boy, was it in spite of or because of the life experiences, the consequences, and the pain that I would suffer as a result of the decisions that I would make? Over time, I've come to realize that it was because of the people he would be able to reach through the broken people Holly and I have become because of addiction. Tonight's message, a message of hope and guidance, biblical mentorship for overcoming addiction. Our text, Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. But speak thou those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The heartfelt call to mentorship that the Apostle Paul extends to Titus is a timeless exhortation, one that connects deeply with the Christian calling to support and to lift up one another. And as we consider the struggles faced by many within our community, particularly those bound by the chains of addiction, this call becomes ever more important. Paul's approach to mentorship is full of compassion, a compassion that mirrors the love of Christ. It is this compassion that moves us to reach out and to our brothers and sisters who are struggling, offering not judgment, but hope and a helping hand. In the pain and suffering of addiction, individuals often feel isolated and helpless. Our role as mentors is to stand with them, to remind them that they are not alone, and to point them toward the hope that is found in the gospel. See, the message of hope that we bring is not based on mere optimism, but on the solid foundation of Scripture. The Bible abounds with stories of redemption and promises of restoration. It offers a path of freedom, not just the physical, from physical dependency, but also from the spiritual bondage that underlies addiction. This path is illuminated by the Word of God, which guides us to truth, provides us with wisdom, and empowers us with strength to overcome the trials we face. The Scriptures provide a roadmap for recovery that encompasses confession, repentance, forgiveness, and transformation. Verses like 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, the principles of confessing our sins to God and revealing our faults to others so that they can be prayed for by others form the bedrock of a biblical approach to overcoming addiction. As a community of believers, we are called to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another, and to build each other up in faith. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The journey towards freedom from addiction is not meant to be walked alone. It requires the support, understanding, and prayers of the entire body of Christ. Through mentorship, we embody the love and support that can make a significant difference in a person's life. And our first point, the foundation of mentorship, Titus 2, verses 1 and 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. See, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the importance of teaching sound doctrine, which is not merely a set of intellectual beliefs, but a guide for righteous living that comes from the transforming power of the gospel. This teaching is vital for everyone, but it holds a particular connection for those battling addiction as it addresses the core of their struggle, which is both physical and spiritual. The term translated sound doctrine implies teaching that promotes health and wholeness in the believer's life. It is like a nutritious diet for the soul that promotes spiritual well-being and maturity. For someone in the bondage of addiction, these teachings create a path to freedom that goes beyond physical abstinence. They provide a way to rebuild their life on the firm foundation of Christ's teachings. See, the gospel power lies in its ability to transform lives. It's not just about changing behaviors, but about renewing the mind and spirit. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. See, for those struggling with addiction, the gospel offers hope for a new identity in Christ. Free from the chains of their past, it is a message that proclaims liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. See, Paul's instruction to Titus is a call to promote a holistic approach to Christian living. It is about embodying the virtues of the faith: soberness, reverence, self-control, and nurturing faith, love, and patience. See, these virtues are particularly pertinent to those overcoming addiction, as they are essential qualities for maintaining sobriety and building a life that honors God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and bound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the context of mentorship, these verses serve as a charge to mentors to be living examples of sound doctrine. They are called to walk alongside those fighting addiction, offering guidance rooted in Scripture and a lifestyle that testifies to the gospel's life-changing power. The mentor's role is to encourage, to correct, and to support, always pointing back to the truth of God's word as the ultimate source of healing and strength. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. According to his divine power, have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2, the role of the mentor. Titus 2, verses 3 and 4. The aged women likewise, that they be in the behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient, and of their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. See, the Apostle Paul speaks to the older women in the church, urging them to be teachers of good things, to guide the younger in a sense with wisdom and grace. See, this principle extends not only to the older women, but to all who are mature in faith. To step forward as mentors, in the context of addiction, a mentor is someone who has walked the path of hardship and has found strength in the Lord to overcome. Your testimony and your ongoing support can give hope to those still in the agony of their struggle. It's not just about going through struggles of addiction. It's about all kinds of struggles, whether it be porn or whatever it might be, anger issues, whatever. Those issues, those things, those hardships that we struggle with are testimonies that we can use to help other people. See, this passage highlights the significant role that mature mentors play within the Christian community. Mature women, also those who are mature in the faith, are called to be teachers of good things, which implies imparting wisdom that aligns with sound doctrine and promotes a godly lifestyle. See, this teaching is not confined to formal instruction, but is most often expressed through the mentor's life example, how they speak, how they act, and respond to life's challenges. See, Paul's exhortation for older women, as well as those who are mature in the faith, in a sense, is to guide with wisdom and grace, suggesting a mentor that is patient, kind, and understanding. Wisdom, in the biblical sense, is more than knowledge. It is the practical application of God's truth in everyday life. Grace indicates a demeanor that reflects God's own compassion and mercy. Together, wisdom and grace create a powerful combination that can deeply influence and shape the lives of those being mentored. See, when adapting this principle for mentoring those with addiction, the mentor's role becomes even more significant. Addiction is a path of hardship that often includes not just physical dependency, but also emotional and spiritual battles. A mentor who has found strength in the Lord to overcome such hardships can offer unique insights and support. Their testimony becomes a powerful tool, providing real-life evidence of God's ability to deliver and to transform lives. See, for people in the emptiness and loneliness of addiction, a mentor's ongoing support can be a glimmer of hope. It is a tangible expression of God's love and care, embodying in someone who believes in their potential for recovery and wholeness. The mentor's presence and encouragement can help light the way through the darkness of addiction, offering guidance toward the peace and the rest promised in Christ. And the third, living by example, Titus 2, verses 7 and 8. See, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is in the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. See, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. See, as mentors, our lives are open books from which others may learn. Let your spiritual maturity and your daily walk with Christ be an example of the redemptive work of God, showing uncorruptness or integrity, gravity or seriousness, sincerity or a lack of hypocrisy, and sound speech or speaking truth free from obscenities that cannot be condemned, so that those who mentor may see you living out your faith or what you believe. See, this is particularly important for mentors working with those overcoming addiction, as it emphasizes the significance of living a life that is a testament to the transforming power of faith. See, the phrase, showing thyself a pattern of good works, suggests that a mentor's action should serve as a template for others to follow. It is not enough to teach or to preach certain behaviors. A mentor must embody them. For those recovering from addiction, seeing a mentor who lives out the principles they advocate can be incredibly powerful. It provides a concrete example of what a life changed by the gospel looks like. Integrity and sincerity are at the heart of Paul's message to Titus. It means being whole and undivided in your commitment to Christ, which in turn reflects in every aspect of our life. For a mentor, integrity and sincerity are crucial because it builds trust. And when mentees see that their mentor's words and actions align, it reinforces the message that change is possible and that the mentor truly believes in what they are teaching. Paul also emphasized the need for seriousness and sound speech. This does not mean that the mentors must be solemn or humorless, but rather that they should recognize the gravity of their role and the impact of the words that they use. In dealing with addiction, it is essential to communicate with care and thoughtfulness, understanding the weight that the words they carry have on someone in recovery. See, Paul advises that a mentor's speech should be that cannot be condemned. That means speaking truthfully and wisely, avoiding any form of deception or manipulation. For mentors, this is a call to ensure that their guidance is always in the best interest of those that they are mentoring, offering support that is both honest and uplifting. 4, the power of grace. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, the Apostle Paul speaks of the transforming and the instructing power of God's grace. This grace is described as a divine teacher that has appeared to all, offering salvation and a new way of life that stands in opposition to ungodliness and worldly desires. The implication of these verses for mentorship, particularly in aiding those with addiction, are profound. The grace of God is personified as a teacher that instructs us in a way that we should live. It is a grace that does not just save, but also educates, leads us away from ungodliness and worldly lusts, encompassing a wide range of behaviors, including the compulsions of addiction. This teaching is not harsh or punitive. It is gentle and nurturing, guiding us to a life that is sober, righteous, and godly. See, to deny something is to refuse to acknowledge its control over us. And in the context of addiction, this means rejecting the hold that a substance or behaviors have on our lives. It is a powerful act of defiance against the forces that seek to enslave, and it is made possible through the empowerment of God's grace. See, this grace gives the strength to say no to addiction, not out of our willpower, which often fails, but through the steadfast love and support of God. The call to live soberly, righteously, and godly is a holistic one, addressing the spiritual dimension, the soul or the moral compass, and the body or mind. For someone struggling with addiction, living soberly has a literal application. It also extends to a sober-minded approach to life's challenges. Righteous living involves making choices that align with God's will and reflect His character. To live godly is to embody the attributes of God in our behavior, in our relationships. As mentors, the role is to communicate this truth of grace to those being guided. It is about imparting the truth that the journey of overcoming addiction is not walked alone. It is accomplished by the grace of God that strengthens, teaches, and leads to victory. Mentors reflect this grace in their interactions, showing patience, providing encouragement, and being a living testament to the life-changing power of God's grace. The ability to conquer addiction does not come from human strength, but from divine assistance. This grace is available to all, and it equips individuals to live out their God-given potential, free from the chains of addiction. And in the fifth place, the blessed hope, Titus 2:13-14. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, our ultimate goal is in the return of our Savior, who has redeemed us from all iniquity. This hope is a powerful motivator in the fight against addiction, providing a perspective that transcends life's struggles. The blessed hope refers to the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises, the return of Jesus Christ. It describes a blessed, it is described as blessed because it signifies the culmination of all that believers had hoped for: redemption, eternal life, and the restoration of all things. This hope is not just wishful thinking. It is a confident expectation based on the trustworthiness of God's word. The glorious appearing is the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his full glory. It is an event that will be visible and magnificent, marking the end of the current age and the beginning of a new eternal reality. For those struggling with addiction, the anticipation of this event provides a powerful contrast to current circumstances, offering a vision of a future where the pain and struggle of addiction is no more. And for people battling addiction, the hope of Christ's return serves as a potent motivator. It reminds them that their struggles are temporary and that a greater reality awaits. This perspective can be incredibly empowering, providing strength to resist temptation, endure the challenges of recovery. The promise of Christ's return offers a sense of purpose and direction, encouraging individuals to live in a way that honors God even in the midst of their battles. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." See, the hope of the gospel transcends present struggles by offering a long-term vision that surpasses the intermediate trials of life. It places current difficulties within the larger narrative of God's redemptive plan. For someone fighting addiction, this broader perspective can shift the focus from the daily battle to the ultimate victory promised in Christ. And as we close, the essence of Christian hope is both blessed and glorious, grounded in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It is a hope that empowers believers to live righteously in the present and to look forward to the future with confidence, knowing that the struggles of today, including addiction, will be overcome in the glorious return of our Savior. And this hope is an anchor for the soul, steadfast and sure, providing comfort and motivation to persevere in the journey towards healing and wholeness. Now I encourage you to embrace the call of mentorship. Reach out to those in need with the wisdom and love that comes from above. Your support can make an eternal difference in the lives of those fighting addiction, guiding them towards freedom and the fullness of life that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. That little handout that I gave you, I hope that you'll take that home, that you'll look at it, that you'll read it, that you'll pray over it over the next couple weeks, and that you'll ask God what you would have him to do, what he would have you to do. We need mentors in the Bridge to Recovery ministry. We need people that will come in and latch hold of these people that come in there and connect with them and stay connected with them so that they're not in and out. There's a problem. You know, one person, they come in today, they want to get, it was with my life, I would want to get my life right, stop using drugs, but then 10 minutes later, I was out on the street trying to purchase some drugs, you know? That's just the way it is, the addiction. And we need some people that can come in, be mentors, and be encouragement, that can call these people and be after them. Not in a harsh way, but in a loving way. You know, I'm going to tell you, when me and my wife came here 10 years ago, it was because of mentors like Alton and Liz Gillett and Mark and Flossie Loop and some other ones that reached out to me and my wife and became friends of ours, invited us to their houses to eat, took us to do things, and were our friends. They talked with us. They prayed for us. They did all kinds of things for us. That's what kept us here. If it wasn't for that, we'd have been right back on the street running and gunning. God got a better plan. And he wants to use each and every one of you. And we need help. The first century church, everybody mentored. Everybody was involved in everything that happened. They just didn't pick a little group over here. Well, I'm going to serve over here. They were involved in all things. People that are addicted, they're just like little babies. They're like children. And once they get saved, they're a young child in Christ, a young baby. And they need a parent that's going to mentor them, that's going to look after them, just like a newborn baby. And I ask you, speak with the Lord. Ask him what he would have you to do.